Live from Tribeca.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Say it ain't snow, Len. Say it ain't snow. Can you believe it? It is springtime, April 2nd, and I look out the window, and we have yet another blizzard, the fifth in about, what, 1 month? Another nor'easter. I don't know if it qualifies as a nor'easter, but when I got up this morning to come to work, a few flakes in the air, but now it's really swirling around up there.
Yeah, I'm sure those of you driving in the area, look at northern New Jersey, right over Natalie's house as usual, 3 to 6 inches expected. You know, the Yankees are supposed to open their season this afternoon. I don't think they'll have
their
a problem.
Opener.
I think by then maybe the snow will be gone and they'll play baseball. It's going to be cold and windy. They're going to play ball, and the Mets play tonight. And it should be nice and toasty at Citi Field tonight for the Mets and Phillies.
Let us hope so. But I am sick and tired of this cold, of this snow. I want to be like Joe Bartlett headed to Florida this week. He's Mr. Smug sitting over there saying, a few days and I'm out of here down in Florida.
I hope it rains on Bartlett.
Fun.
I hope it rains when he goes.
I've already looked going to be 80 and sunny.
No. We'll be stuck here probably with more snow. So anyway, that's a storm leads off. It's not going to be as bad, of course, as what we've had in the past month or so, but it's annoying. You know, I was down getting Starbucks this morning, and I saw people coming in. Everybody's staying there. I want to move to California. I want to move to Florida. I'm sick of this snow. Everybody's bundled up again. It's a pain.
Well, that'll make your subway rides easier if all those people move.
I never thought in April I would get a call for a delayed opening for one of my kids' schools.
That's right.
Insane.
We don't have delays, but no school closings.
How long a delay does Sam have?
Well, it's an hour and a half. It's always a set. You know, it's always 90 minutes for him. So.
Why isn't he on vacation this week?
They have spring break next week, so hopefully they'll have better weather next week.
Spring break has been canceled.
Exactly. Canceled. I was going to say spring break. That is the wrong name for what's going on today. So anyway, 1 to 3 inches of snow expected here. But where Natalie is in northern New Jersey, she showed us some video this morning. It was really whipping up out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if it's not at your house yet, if it's any indication what it was at 4 o'clock this morning in northern New Jersey, it's coming. And it was fierce. I mean, it was the kind of snow that was blowing directly at you. Hard to see when you were driving. I mean, the roads were slick already, but it was the visibility that was the issue. So, you know, everybody's got to be safe out there.
Of course, Len is here this morning smiling. No problem with my commute. Nothing going on out there in Long Island where I live. It's perfectly fine. I don't know what you're complaining about.
It's all about me. By the way, if you're driving around in tough conditions or if you see some tough conditions, as always, our phones are open for you, 800-321-0710. We'd love to know what you're seeing, what you're driving in, what's going on where you are. Give us a call.
All right. Also in the big three, the president, I thought, seemed fairly calm for some of the weekend. And then there was a happy Easter tweet in the morning. And then I believe he was watching something on Fox. And, you know, Fox is the trigger for the president. And kaboom, the tweets come fast and furious yesterday. No more DACA deal. And he even threatens to walk away from the North American Free Trade Agreement. So here we go. All kinds of border problems. He's upset that a caravan of Mexicans is coming. And he's going to go at the Democrats. He's not going to strike a DACA deal with them. And I think it's threatening to walk away from the North American Free Trade Agreement is a little extreme, but boy, he was set off yesterday, Len.
Would it be inappropriate? I need a ruling from Bartlett here, our resident theologian. Is it inappropriate if I say that his tweet storm got resurrected yesterday later in the day? No? Is that
Len?
What? Is that sacrilegious?
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Like all right. It's got to be a fun Easter egg hunt today at the...
That should be good.
Actually, and there's a picture of Trump. This is something that we don't see often. There's a picture of Trump in the New York Times holding Melania's hand. Now, when is the last time we've seen them hold hands? It's not since Stormy Daniels blew into Washington.
I didn't notice the hand hold. I noticed that she was smiling.
Oh, well.
See, that's what I noticed. I said, really?
Isn't that cute?
So maybe the two of them will smile and have their Easter egg roll.
She doesn't look too happy here, but he's squeezing her hand, and she's sort of got a sour face on her. So, also rounding out the big three, the legendary television writer and producer Stephen Bochco has died, age 74, of leukemia. I mean, The show's unbelievable. Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, NYPD Blue. Hill Street Blues is one of the greatest shows of all time. I never missed it on Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, I think, as a kid.
One of the great, great TV themes, Hill Street Blues.
Written by the great Mike Post.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember Daniel J. Travante. What a great performance.
Oh, just the whole cast.
And who was the guy, Michael Conrad. He was the sergeant, I think. He played, what was his name? Phil Esterhaus on Hill Street Blues. Absolutely terrific. And he died sort of the third or fourth season.
Huh.
The actor himself died, and they had to write him out of the show. But great show.
Well, yeah, I think they would have to, Mike.
Right.
I mean, it'd be tough to keep up with the show at that point.
What's that technological stuff?
We get the birdies, that's what it's called.
That technological stuff they have now where somebody dies, but they can still can still manage to be in the movies. No, that didn't happen. But Hill Street Blues was a groundbreaking TV show because it was, I think, one of the early times when they used the handheld cameras.
Yeah, it was great.
So you had the gritty realism that paved the way for things like St. Elsewhere. So. Great writer and producer Stephen Bochco, dead at 74. All right, let us now check in with Scott Pringle in Parsippany, New Jersey. Scott,
Parsippany.
I'm never going to be able to pronounce this one right.
Just give it up.
Where are you, Scott, in New Jersey?
Yeah, I didn't get very far here. I'm in Parsippany. I couldn't make up the hill, guys, really. Out of the neighborhood here, you do have to get up the hill to get out of my neighborhood. And you know, they're a little bit steep here, but they're completely covered. There's no blacktop at all. I'd say maybe 2 to 3 inches of snow, and I don't know if they're pre-cheated or not, but my car was slipping everywhere. I tried a couple different routes, and I eventually just gave up.
Really? You're on your way to Yankee Stadium, aren't you, Scott?
I was, but I don't know what I'm going to do now.
You're giving up on it?
Well, I'm going to let some time pass, and we'll see what happens, because right about now is when the plow should hopefully come by. You got a few inches on the ground here.
I think you got to hit the boss up for a nice SUV. I don't know what kind of crappy car you're driving. You can't get up a hill.
I got a Camry with front-wheel drive right now.
Oh.
So you're right. It doesn't have all-wheel drive, and perhaps I should get one eventually.
Don't you have some chains in your trunk you can put on your tires?
Yeah, I think those are illegal, actually.
Well, I didn't know that. Chains are now illegal.
Live and learn.
I've never owned a car in my life, let alone a chain. Slippery, bad out there. You're going to be able to make it up to Yankee Stadium, Scott, or are you just going to bag it?
Well, I'll hope at some point here. We'll have to check in with the news director, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, if you get to Yankee Stadium, give us a call. We'd love to know what the conditions are like up there.
Will do, guys.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Scott.
By the way, speaking of pronunciations, you want to try again?
Parsippany.
No.
Parsippany.
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 Now, speaking of pronunciations,
Parsippany.
Joe all morning was talking about the buzzer beater for Notre Dame to win the national championship in women's basketball.
Right.
Who scored that basket again, Joe?
The player from Notre Dame.
What?
That's going crazy. From ESPN? Who carried that? We don't even know. Probably ESPN. Arike Ogunbowale.
Good. Arike Ogunbowale.
How'd you know that?
Ogunbowale.
How did you pronounce it?
I didn't. I just skipped that
part.
He just said
the woman won the game at the buzzer.
Arike Ogunbowale.
By the way, on the sportscast I'll do in a few minutes, same thing.
Ogunbowale. Ogunbowale. All right, fine.
First name is Arike. Well, she won both games.
I know it.
She beat Connecticut in overtime at the buzzer, and then she beats Southern Mississippi and wins the national championship.
You would think her name would be worth mentioning in the newscast.
Yeah, Joe.
I mean, she's a superstar now.
Well, all right, let me see.
Repeat
Our
after me,
Joe. Our sports guy is going to be coming up in a little bit with a sports cast. Let's see how he pronounces it.
I say Michigan State won at the buzzer. Oh, no.
Was I watching it? Yeah, it was unbelievable. And then all of this controversy at the end because half the players walked off the court. We're going back into the locker room, and they called them back in because they still had to do another, like, point whatever second. Oh, so they had to place them all back up on the court.
What time was this? I thought you were watching Jesus Christ Superstar, where Michael Riedel was live in attendance.
I was.
Crazy enough that I started watching Jesus Christ Superstar, and then my husband goes, we got to watch the end of the game. So we recorded it and then went back to it after that. But it was a nutty ending.
Well, you know what happens at the end of Jesus Christ Superstar.
They win the buzzer?
There's no big reveal.
I thought Enrique...
Len crucified him.
Wale.
Len's people crucified him.
No, stop. Whoa, man, are you kidding me?
Actually, it was the Romans. It was the Romans.
Are you kidding me, Needle?
It was the Romans.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
No, you turned him in. You betrayed him.
Why don't you go back? We should go back and announce some more baseball games. That was such a hit opening day. I can't imagine. It was so exciting how many people tweeted and broadcast how much they loved listening to you as a baseball announcer.
I was doing the blow-by-blow at Jesus Christ Superstar, I can tell you.
Scared of me, Christ. Mr. Wonderful Christ. You're a joke. You're not the Lord. You are
Alice Cooper. He was sensational.
So and you were there in person with Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I was.
And Tim Rice, who wrote it. Yep. Live on NBC. You'll tell us all about it later.
They were all
on.
There. It was great. And I got just one quick thing. This kid is going to be a superstar. Brandon Dixon, his name is. Yeah. He played Judas. He's not as famous, of course, as John Legend and Sarah Bareilles, who was wonderful, but Brandon is a major star. The kid was absolutely sensational.
Cool.
It was a great night, good reviews, and big ratings, I predict.
So, well, we'll see.
There you are. So, well, Len, look outside the window, and you will see that it is not spring. It is snowing again for the fifth time this month. WOR meteorologist Ray Stajic will tell us how much snow we can expect. Too much when we return. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in with Bernie Vider and traffic.
Morning, everyone, on snowy April the 2nd.
Welcome to spring.
This is it.
Spring break, everybody. Get out your snowshoes and your skis.
6:24 in the a.m. We'll go to our Weather Channel meteorologist Ray Stajic in just a moment. Michael picked up on that, and I thought I heard it. I wasn't sure. There was a commercial we ran a moment ago.
Yep.
For the movie Chappaquiddick,
which is about Ted Kennedy drowning Mary Jo Kopechne.
Absolutely. And the rating is PG-13. Quote, for thematic material, disturbing images, some strong language, and historical smoking.
I have never heard this phrase before.
So now
they're warning people, oh, you might be offended because people smoke in this movie. Historical smoking. What is this? Pretty soon it's going to be historical drinking.
If it's
Mad Men, historical drinking.
How about the shooting of guns?
Well, yes, you repealers of the Second Amendment want that.
But here you have a woman drowning in the car. That's okay, but oh my God, someone lit him up.
Nothing about historical drowning, but historical smoking, and next will be historical drinking, and then, of course, everyone's obsessed with what they eat. One day we'll have historical dessert eating because they might have a sweet after the meal.
No, this thing does say thematic material, disturbing images, some strong language, but I just never heard it specifically separated out like that. Historical smoking.
I'm going to be curious to see how they portray Ted Kennedy here. This is a sort of liberal media elite movie where they sort of give him a pass on it. That man should have gone to jail for, at the very least, manslaughter for the killing of Mary Jo Kopechne, I think.
Well, it did cost him a presidential bid, so.
All right. Yeah, but he served absolutely no time. And he just got out of the car, walked away, and she was in the back drowning. And they try to cover it up.
I'm still trying to recover from the last segment when you said, quote, you people killed Jesus.
Well, what happened?
Really?
What happened was that Judas betrayed him, turned him over to the Romans. Yeah. Herod could have saved him, but in the end, Herod decided not to, kicked him back to Pontius Pilate, and then they crucified him.
Right. But it's you people who killed him. Okay, fine. I just wanted to clarify that for all time's sake.
Well, you know, historical record there.
All right, so this is absolutely has to be the last snow in the history of 2018 in the spring, right, Ray Stajic of the Weather Channel?
Well.
Oh, no.
Really? Really?
Ay, ay, ay. This is depressing me, Ray.
Well, let's just say maybe not.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this one first.
Yes.
You know, nail this one down, button it up for us.
Okay.
What's happening here?
Hardest and heaviest snow coming right now. Snowing hard at Central Park right now, reporting S+.
That means heavy snow, quarter mile visibility. This band coming through probably snows until about 8, 9 o'clock, starts tapering off west to east. Tough to get it to stick initially on the roads, but it is in places, especially North Jersey, southeastern New York State, Rockland, Westchester County into Connecticut. Even around the city, we'll start seeing some stickage here as temperatures are hovering just a degree or two above freezing, and then it'll all melt this afternoon. So about 1 to 3 in and around the city, 3 to 5 north and west.
Have to worry about winds today, Ray?
Winds will whip up a bit, 15, 25 miles per hour. I don't think we'll have to worry much about wind at all, though, in terms of any problems with wind. But the visibility is going to be down with snowing. Coming down, quarter mile visibility. That's pretty tough out there. So you have a visibility problem. In many places, it'll get slick on the streets, a slushy accumulation. And as we go through the day, as we get at or above 40 degrees when the precip ends, most of it should go away for the afternoon.
So what does this say for the Yankees home opener at 1 and the Mets playing tonight at 7 at Citi Field?
I believe the precip will be done at the stadium, Yankee Stadium. It depends on whether they want to go through the effort of cleaning everything off. I don't know if it's going to melt. So precip will be done, but it's going to be cold. You're near 40 degrees at game time. Mm. And for the Mets tonight, same thing. No precip, but chilly. So I'd say the Mets will play. Yanks, maybe.
Mm. What's the rest of the week looking like for us?
Actually, we've got quite a roller coaster ride in temperatures. We've got rain in mid-40s tomorrow, and the warm front's going to surge north. We'll get showers, thunderstorms later tomorrow night. And we'll have some rain Wednesday scattered around. We'll get into the upper 60s Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Spring.
And we're going to fall back down later.
Are we going to see the sun?
Well, yeah, we may. We may get some sun in here by Thursday.
All right, so lay it on us. When you say this may not be the last touch of snow.
What are you seeing?
It might not. Late week into the upcoming weekend, another cold front will come in. And may bring some rain and snow showers in here Friday night into early Saturday. And then beyond that, maybe that's the end. I don't like it.
You've been hedging your bets all month long.
This is what we were talking to Joe about earlier this morning. He said, did look like the first 2 weeks of April were going to be, on average, at or below normal. And this week, we only have one day, that upper 60-degree day on Wednesday, that we're actually seeing temperatures that are going to be above the average high, which is 56. Other than that, we're below it. In some cases, below it by 10 or 15 degrees.
Ray, I say this with love. You're really starting to get on our nerves. See you later.
See you in a bit.
Thanks, Ray. Bye.
Thanks for ruining my weekend.
Boy, oh boy. I bet it is going to get in the high 60s at some point.
One day. One day.
Coming up on 6:30, it's time for the latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Hello, Len. Is DACA dead? President Trump took to Twitter over the weekend to lash out at Democrats and Mexico over immigration. He says Democrats blew it on DACA. Now a lot of people are coming into the country to take advantage of it.
Time out. Just refresh my memory, you two Republicans. Was it not President Trump who rescinded DACA?
Yes.
And explain to me again why that's the Democrats' fault.
Because he wanted to make a deal and they wouldn't.
They wouldn't because he wanted some money for the wall and they ignored him on that.
What does the wall have to do with DACA?
It's called bargaining in politics, Len. Yeah. You give me something, I give you something. This is how it's supposed to work.
DACA was in effect. The president took it away, and now it's the Democrats' fault. Okay,
I
got it.
If you want to accept the fact that we're going to legalize millions of people here illegally,
then we got to have a wall to keep millions more out.
Well, that sounds like an oxymoron. How do you legally make illegal?
You do through DACA. That's DACA. What it's about.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's the one who canceled DACA. Okay, go ahead. But playing the Democrats, that's fine. Okay. Makes sense.
All right, you'll enjoy this one. Former Governor Chris Christie warning President Trump not to meet with special counsel Robert Mueller.
He should never walk into that room with Robert Mueller, because in the end, one of the things that makes the president who he is that he's a salesman. And salesmen at times tend to be hyperbolic.
What? That's hyperbolic? I don't believe it.
I agree with Christie 100%.
He's right.
You just don't know what he'll say. I mean,
Mueller's going to lay a trap for Trump to walk right into and get him for perjury, because he won't get him on Russian collusion. He'll take him down with perjury.
Well, Christie says this is the kind of attitude that can land you in jail.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
A major hack impacting millions of shoppers at Saks Fifth Avenue and Lord & Taylor. A security firm estimates 5 million credit card users had their data stolen. It's happened everywhere.
Well, so tell me because I know I'll bet you 100% they got my wife in that one.
Well, she was shopping at a store, yes. Online, no.
Yeah, we shopped at a store recently.
Then you've been hacked. You have been hacked.
Check your credit card.
Wow.
Don't look too closely. I put a few things on there myself.
I always look at it. I always read them and weep. It's what my wife puts on there.
Oh, wow. Someone is millions of dollars richer after winning this largest jackpot in New Jersey history over the weekend. It was not Natalie. We all thought it was because the winning ticket sold not far from her house at a Riverdale Lukoil store worth $521 million or $317 million in cash.
Wow.
The winner has not come forward. The winner cannot be anonymous. They have to be identified in New Jersey.
What are you hearing, Natalie? It's your little town.
The rumors
must be flying.
Has anyone bought a big house?
It is a small town. There's only about 4,000 people in the town, so it's kind of a small town. The rumor is it is not anyone from Riverdale.
Really?
It's just the way that it's situated on the highway. It's not something you would be wrapping around to get to normally, but everybody thinks it's someone north of us.
Why north?
Because they'd be coming south down to 287 to hit the major highway.
Wow.
And it's the last gas station before 287, so it's a pretty big stop
when you
for
say
people.
North, are you talking Canada or West Milford?
Milford.
did you buy a ticket for this one, Natalie?
I didn't.
Oh, Natalie.
Oh, come on.
I didn't.
Why not?
But you know what? I'm glad I didn't because I wouldn't have stopped there, so it's okay. But I had got more calls and texts and emails on Saturday than anybody.
I sent her a text and she said, it's been nice working with you.
That was sincere.
All right. And I said, it has been. It still is.
Thanks, Joey. Splashdown for a Chinese space station. We'll tell you where it landed when we get back. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Let's check out the snowy traffic conditions with Bernie Viter.
Well, good morning, everybody. More snow today, but Len and I are going to try to whip up a little spring fever here by giving away some Mets tickets coming up at 7:30. I'm going to be giving away my personal pair of Mets tickets, and I think Len you're giving away.
We have the Turning Point.
We have the
contest.
Turning Point coming up. Yes.
Mets finally lost the game after being undefeated for the entire 2018 season. Yes. They finally lost yesterday. So we have the Turning Point contest at 8:30 for more tickets.
And Yankees home opener today, too.
That's home opener. And both teams are in town tonight. So you got the home opener at the stadium when the snow stops. And then you have a game. Our coverage here on 710 WOR begins at 6:05. The Phillies come to town. They're not important game four, but Matt Harvey looks so terrific in spring training. If he can deliver that against the Phillies tonight, it'll be a real hopeful sign for Mets fans.
Back on track with the Mets. All right, we were talking about the Trump Twitter storm over the weekend. He seemed sort of quiet on Sunday, wished everyone a happy Easter, and then boom, he's watching Fox and no more DACA deal. He's furious with the Democrats because they wouldn't give him money for the wall. He's going to scrap the DACA deal. He wants to pull out of the North American Free Trade Agreement. He's really coming on strong. Coming on strong.
Yes, he is. I made my little wise guy comment, but there's some truth behind it too, because just remember, it was Obama who gave clearance for DACA.
Yep.
And then Trump, got rid of the executive order. Which is his right. But then he says he blames the Democrats. Well, he's the one who dismantled the DACA things. I'm just pointing that out, that sometimes there's enough blame to go around on both sides.
Yes, but he was going to enter into a negotiation with the Democrats about getting some money for the wall.
I understand
and then
that.
He would address DACA. And at one point he said, he didn't want to throw the people who are living here back over the borders, but if you're going to legalize several million illegals here, then you don't want more people coming in, and the Democrats won't engage with him on the wall at all.
I don't think
so. What's he supposed to do? Roll over for them?
I think it should be a separate issue. I don't think you have to put the wall on the backs of dreamers. Why is that fair to them?
That's called politics, Len.
Yeah, well,
that's called politics.
I just wanted to point out that if he wants to blame the Democrats 100%, he's the one who got rid of DACA. That's all I'm saying.
I think
just saying
walking away from NAFTA is a little extreme, but Trump, he takes these extreme positions and then he begins the negotiations.
I understand that part.
Did a little piece of that space station bounce off your property over the weekend?
Well, First they said Michigan was in the line of fire.
Well, they said New York at one point.
New Jersey at one point. Yeah. New Jersey, and then what happens? It falls in the ocean near Tahiti.
17,000 miles off the coast of Tahiti. So I wouldn't call that a near miss, but this Chinese space station, Tiangong-1, came whizzing into Earth's atmosphere yesterday, breaking up for the most part, but some chunks of it did land in the South Pacific. Now, I was concerned last week that a piece of it, New York was sort of in the line of fire at one point. And I thought, what happens if a piece of this space shuttle crashes through my apartment? And I would think, I didn't order that. I ordered the spicy beef with garlic.
General Tso's chicken.
That's what I ordered. I didn't order a piece of the space station coming through.
How could they say near miss off Tahiti?
17,000 miles away or 7,000?
I don't know. They said near miss.
Well, I mean, look, there is a lot of space junk
out there. No, it's 17,000 miles per hour, not 17,000 miles. How close did it get to Tahiti? I don't even know. I can't tell from this story.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but hey, listen, there's a lot of space junk out there. There's a lot of stuff.
I worry about it. Don't you worry about that?
Absolutely. I heard a BBC report not too long ago about all the space junk out there. In fact, there are little particles of the space junk and space stations that are up there now. These particles are going at thousands of miles an hour. So even these little dust things, they ricochet off. They can cause damage to the space shuttles. And if these things, we got a lot of old satellites up there that could fall on Earth and land right there in Sands Point. I know that's a big concern to you, Len.
Well, with all that crap floating around up there,
you
got to believe at some point some people will be in danger.
They need
They
need a gigantic Hoover vacuum cleaner that'll orbit the Earth and suck up all those particles. Hey, let's go to John from Wilton on line one. He's got some thoughts on DACA. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
John, you there? Good morning, John. There is a...
Don't fail us now, John.
Where'd John go? All right.
Yeah, let's see.
He's up there in space, orbiting around.
Right.
There's a lot of crap out there in space, Len. We have polluted space like we polluted this planet, and you have to be careful about it, I think.
Yeah, you do worry about it. But this thing is crazy. How do they figure Michigan? Michigan was preparing, and then all of a sudden,
What I found odd is that they can't predict, our astronomers, they couldn't predict exactly where this thing was going to land. They're predicting all the time these asteroids that are going to hit Earth, you know, 1,000 years from now. They're asteroids on trajectory that are way out in deep space, headed our way. They're predicting when the impact is going to be. And you got this thing that's just above the clouds here, and they don't know where that's going to hit.
Well, that's the thing. When they talk about this thing that's coming, 2035, whatever the year is, it's bigger than the Empire State Building?
Yeah. That's coming,
crazy amount. But no, this Chinese space station mostly burned up in the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, generally that's what happens when this stuff comes through because it heats up to extraordinary temperatures and it generally disintegrates on impact. But there are chunks of it. I mean, listen, you don't want to be hit even by a piece of space station, the palm of your hand that's hurtling down on your head at 17,000 miles an hour.
Well, what I find is interesting, and that's a great point you made. I mean, this is stuff that's just floating overhead. So the Chinese space authorities predicted it would re-enter off the Brazilian coast in the South Atlantic. So there you go.
Yeah. Yep.
And then it hit Tahiti.
I wonder when they send the space station up, though, do they think it's going to stay up there forever? Or they're like, well, we'll send it up. We'll let it play around up there for a while. We'll gather some data. And then when it runs out of steam, it's going to hit the Earth.
I don't know. That's a great question. Are they all eventually going to come down?
I think so. You would think they would build them so that at a certain point you can hit a button and the rockets boost and they blow up there or they go into deep space.
Great idea. Why don't you invent that? You and Elon Musk.
I am going to go. I'm going to put in my application for a job at NASA.
Please do.
All right. Somebody is a whole lot richer today, and I mean a whole lot. They have won 521 million mega million jackpot, sold right near Natalie's house, and sad to say she didn't win, but we'll tell you about that jackpot. Plus, speaking of jackpots, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Bido.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
At 6:54 on a snowy Monday. Good morning, everyone. It is April. It is snowing. It's supposed to stop this afternoon.
But it's sticky, and I just looked outside the window, and I didn't even wear my snow boots. I wore my sneakers to work today, so I'm going to have wet feet when I get home.
Well, that's a problem. I don't want you getting sick on me now.
But at least we didn't get hit with that piece of falling Chinese space station. You know, I wonder if a little piece came down, if you picked it up, if you saw on the back said Made in China.
Well, what do you think it was made?
that's why it fell out of the sky. You know, those cheap Chinese goods.
What do you think it was made in Akron? I mean, where'd you think it was made?
Well, this little thing on the back says made in China, you see? Yeah. Once again.
So I saw when someone won the Mega, it was a $521 million prize, and I saw New Jersey, I immediately sent Natalie an email saying, congratulations, it was nice working with you. And I had no idea that it was sold in her little hometown.
It was. And there were only something like 4,000 people who live in her town.
Yeah.
And, but she didn't buy a ticket, so she got to be in it to win it, Natalie.
So this was sold at the Lukoil gas station on Route 23 in Riverdale, New Jersey. And Natalie has scoped this out because she's decided that it's most likely not a resident.
Somebody passing through.
Yeah, and they're heading southbound. So she says it's someone from the north. Which could be all.
Yeah, I'd like to see if Nash has any indication, if there's been any rumors flying around. He's from the Lukoil on Route 23 southbound. There is one northbound, so it's southbound.
Right.
Because there were some rumblings that maybe it was someone from Pompton Lakes, then someone from further up north. So I wonder if they've got any hints yet.
All right. Did you check with him? Is he on the line? Oh, he's on the line. We got the manager of Lukoil. Hey, Nash, how are you?
Good morning, Nash.
Are you, like, exhausted already from all of us media people bothering you so much?
Not really. Very exciting, and I'm happy for the guy or the lady. I don't know yet. It's big, big prize.
But it's a big prize, and you have no clue, huh? No rumor, no buzz, no nothing who might have bought this ticket?
Yeah. Not yet.
So Nash.
That's why we said exciting, yeah.
Nash, could you have bought a ticket yourself there?
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
You didn't? You were right. You were selling the tickets for $523 million and you didn't buy one yourself?
Yeah, we are so busy. Station is so, so busy.
It sounds busy this morning. Who are all those people floating around today?
Yes, a lot of people. A lot of people last the 2 days after the draw. Everyone check his ticket, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a big line of people checking the ticket?
Yes.
Hey, Nash, tell us what you get for this. What does the store get that sold the ticket?
Really, I don't know yet. This is the first time that happened, and I'm foreigner, so I don't know exactly the rules of the lottery here for the big prize, but I hope something good for the store. And
Well, Nash, do me a favor. Just to keep this between you and me. Make an announcement this morning that Michael Riedel won the $500 million jackpot, and I'll throw a little bit your way, all right? Okay, Nash?
Okay.
Hey, Nash, thanks. You're a good sport. Get back to work. All those people want to talk to you.
Yes, I have a lot of people here. Right. Thank you very much, and wish you luck, too.
Okay, yeah.
Bye, Nash.
Wish us luck. Right. Sounds like a nice guy. Can you imagine?
He does.
You're just a guy managing a gas station on Route 23, and then the whole world.
Somebody with $500 million at your shop.
Natalie, give us all your expertise, because this is your town, and I want you to be the detective here and scope out who won this thing.
I've been trying it. I will tell you, if I could put money on it, I would say it is not someone from Riverdale. Like I said, it is a small town, 4,000 people. There's only like 850 families in the town. And everybody talks. And everybody on Facebook, not me. And if it was someone from the town, I think we would have known from it already.
Do you think if it's someone that you know, someone who lives in your town, that all the other families would be just so envious?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I really
This could poison your little Peyton place if somebody know wins.
Oh, I was wondering if it was a lottery pool from the teachers at the school at Riverdale Public, if anybody would be showing up today.
Or somebody somebody really despise in the town, they win.
People were talking about that all week, and I hope it's not blah, blah, blah.
Give us a name, Natalie.
Who's blah, blah, blah?
Give us a name.
I've never heard of the
blah.
Who's blah, blah, blah?
Not saying.
You see, money.
Crazy.
That's right.
You think of someone. But what if someone just bought it in town and wants to clam up about it?
I just really don't think it is. It's not a convenient location for the people who live inside Riverdale.
Oh, okay.
Riverdale's a weird kind of, it's cut up between 287 and 23. And it's just not a gas station that you would loop around easily. But if you live north, Kinnelon, West Milford, and you're coming down to 287, you'd be passing by it every day.
Natalie, if you won it, you would not announce that publicly for a while, would you?
Oh, maybe I'd come to work and sit here just like I am right now.
It's Natalie Blip Blip Blah.
You know, there are a lot of people at Riverdale say, I hope that Natalie doesn't win.
Oh, I'm sure that was
big
the name.
Shot on the radio. I hope Natalie
she's famous
doesn't win.
She's famous already. Just what she needs is $500 million.
So. Well, but Natalie said they have to announce who they are, right? That you can't keep this one a secret.
In New Jersey, they have to.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
All right, so we
congratulations, Blip Blip Blah. Yeah,
and we thank Nash for coming on with us from the Luke Oil gas station on Route 23. Coming up, a big win for the Fighting Irish. You know the biggest pain in the neck Notre Dame fan around is?
I have a feeling.
Congressman Peter King. Yep. That's on my nerves. He's going to join us live coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 after the news at 7.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword LUCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LUCK to 200-200.
710 WOR. From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
It's coming down hard out there.
Yeah, it is.
And it's sticking. And it's sticking. Yeah. So good morning, everyone. Be careful if you're driving. It's going to be a problem for the next few hours. Then it's supposed to taper off. But right now, we have an April 2nd snowstorm at 7:06 in the morning.
Fifth snowstorm in the last month. Thank you very much.
Good morning to you, Michael
Yes,
Riedel.
Happy spring. Is it going to disrupt the Yankee game today, do you think, Len?
I don't, you know, Ray Stajic made a great point, our meteorologist, and I think also Scott Pringle said the same thing from the WR newsroom. It's a matter of cleaning up the stadium.
Yeah, well, the other problem is I think it's going to rain tomorrow.
Right.
So this is supposed to have rain, yeah. So rather deal with, just cleaning up after a snowstorm than rain.
Yeah, but if the snow is really sticking on the seats, I don't know. It might be tough to get the stadium cleaned up, ready to go. So we'll see. We haven't heard from the Yankees. Right now the game is on. Yeah. And you saw Jesus Christ Superstar last night, live and in person on NBC. You were the guests of the composers, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. What a front runner you are, but how was the show?
It was fantastic. We went out to the Armory in Williamsburg. They took over this massive space. Great set. Terrific show, Jesus Christ Superstar. I love it. John Legend played Jesus Christ. Sarah Bareilles as Mary Magdalene. She was sensational.
Great
she has
voice,
the big
yeah.
song, I Don't Know How to Love Him.
Right.
Beautiful lyric by Tim Rice, famous song from the show. She was great. And Brandon Victor Dixon. Now, that kid, I've known him on Broadway a long time. He emerged last night as the superstar. I know it's Jesus Christ Superstar, but it was Judas Iscariot Superstar. He brought down the house, and I was backstage, not to drop too many names here this morning, Lynn, but I was backstage with Glenn Close, who was sitting in the
who
box
wasn't?
Where I was.
Who wasn't?
And she got down on her knees and bowed to Brandon and said, you are sensational. That kid, I predict he's going to be one of the biggest stars we have ever seen. He was great last night.
I'm surprised she didn't bow down to you for all the...
Well, I introduced myself, and there was a big... I said, hi, I'm Michael Riedel. I cover Broadway for the New York Post.
Big
and there
pause,
was a big blank look. I said, oh... Very nice. Nice to see you.
You should have said you work with Len Berman.
Oh, that's right. Spanning the world, Len Berman? That's what she should have said.
Nobody got hurt. Well, the big three is let off with the snow. The morning commute is sloppy. How about James in Bayport? How is it by you?
So far, so good. I'm down at the Great South Bay here, and I would say we have about an inch or so. You can still see the blades of grass through people's lawn, but you had a previous caller that said the visibility was poor, and I would have to agree with them. I'd say you have about a 1 mile visibility, but otherwise the roads are clear and we're in good shape in western Suffolk.
So traffic's moving along okay?
You know what? There's at the bay when you're having a cup of coffee, there's no traffic.
There you go. Who cares?
I can't give you a traffic report, but I... Stay well. I hope the railroad keeps operating. It looks like an easy storm.
All right, James. Thanks, pal.
Sounds like James has got the life when you're at the bay having a cup of coffee. Who cares?
Thanks for listening, James. Appreciate it. All right. Also on our big three this morning, the president says no more DACA deal, and he threatens Mexico over border security. And let me read. He just tweeted out. I guess he's in the middle of a tweet this morning. Mexico has the absolute power not to let these large caravans of people enter their country. They must stop them at their northern border, which they can do because their border laws work, not allow them to pass through into our country, which has no effect. Border laws dot, 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 dot.
So we'll you're waiting for the rest of the tweet to come through. He was watching Fox yesterday, and I think there was a report about a caravan that was moving our way from Mexico. Right. That's when he started tweeting up his storm. So.
And rounding out the big three, the passing of a legendary TV producer, Stephen Bochco, at the age of 74. You know all of his big shows like Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue, L.A. Law, yeah. Doogie Howser, just, you know, famous TV producer. And who doesn't know this theme from Hill Street Blues? Was that Mike Post, you said?
Mike Post wrote that theme. You know, the great thing about Bochco, when you watch something like Hill Street Blues, those characters become real to you. You know, they become your friends. That's how good a writer he was. I mean, you think of Daniel J. Trovanti as, you know, Captain Frank there, and Joyce Davenport as Veronica Hamer. I mean, all those...
Was Sipowicz in that one? The character? I don't know.
I'm not.
Seem to remember that name.
Simple, yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, the one who went on to go to NYPD Blue, which is another show that Bochco created, He was in there originally too. But those characters are so rich, and you just look forward every Thursday night to being with those guys.
Stephen Bochco, he actually pioneered that kind of
reality.
Yeah,
you
thought they were real characters. Yeah. You know who the most insufferable sports fans? Just the most insufferable sports fans anywhere in America. Let me give you a hint. Notre Dame sports fans, they just ooze confidence, they just are arrogant, they just think they're the greatest school in the history of the world, and of course...
What do you have against Catholics, Len?
And last night, they won the national championship in women's
Woo!
Basketball.
Ogumba Wale, for the win! Good! Arike Ogumba Wale wins the national championship for Notre Dame!
And I heard the screaming in my house from Peter King's house on the South Shore. Good morning, Congressman Peter King. How are you?
I tell you, man, I'm doing great. What a night last night. Rosemary and I were on the edge of our chairs for the last 10-15 minutes. I don't know if you watched the game or not. I don't think any team in a national championship game ever played a worse quarter than Notre Dame did. They scored 3 points in the second quarter.
Yeah.
They were out of it. I mean, they were going to lose by 30 or 40, it looked like, and somehow they came back, and they won it on a miraculous shot by Ogumba Wale from exact shots you made against Connecticut the night before, a long jumper from the corner.
That's right. And you know what? While Notre Dame fans like yourself are insufferable, I do give you a pass because you met your lovely wife, Rosemary, at Notre Dame, and I love your wife, so you got a pass for me. Well,
thank you. But I hate to bring this up, but I was looking everywhere yesterday to see where Syracuse was. And I just
Syracuse didn't make it, pal.
I couldn't find them.
No, they were nowhere to be found.
It was really a great game. I think also Muffet McGraw, the coach, doesn't get the credit. I mean, she's been phenomenal. Notre Dame has, I think this is their sixth or seventh Final Four appearance, and their record has just been phenomenal. Usually it's like, you know, maybe three or four losses a year. And this year there was four scholarship players were out with ACLs, and they still made it. So
You know what, Peter? We don't care.
Why?
Really, this is just too much information about Notre Dame.
Why do you find Notre Dame fans insufferable, Len? What's wrong with that? They're a great basketball team. It's a great school.
This dates back to a football game that was played between Syracuse and Notre Dame in the early 60s.
So this is a personal thing.
This is a grudge. Yeah, and Notre Dame actually stole a game they shouldn't have won. And let's not get into it, Peter. It's just not worth it. But that's why all Syracuse people hate Notre Dame.
What was it, back in 61 or 62? Get over it, Ledwig.
All right. What's the big issue? Is it DACA? Is it Korea? What's floating your boat today, Congressman?
Well, you know, the serious issue should be Korea. And again, I generally support the president, but to let personal feuds get in the way of policy. I mean, let's face it. He says he wants to do something on DACA. He gives all the reasons why we should do something. Then he gets mad at the Democrats. And he said, we're not going to do DACA. And that has nothing to do with the people who are affected by DACA. In other words, whatever feud he has, he should resolve it that way. Don't take it out on collateral damage, if you will. People are standing off to the side. which same thing he did with Gateway. I mean, he wanted the Gateway project. That's the rail tunnels connecting New York and New Jersey. And then he got mad at Chuck Schumer, and he wanted to kill the project. And Chuck Schumer, again, this is not a Chuck Schumer project. This is a project that is needed by the whole New York, New Jersey region, in fact, the whole Northeast. So listen, I don't think it means anything. I think within a week or two, he'll be talking about negotiating a deal on DACA. It's just the Sunday morning or Monday morning tweet storm that goes out. But the real key issue that's going to affect the nation and the world is North Korea, and that's what we have to get serious about.
Congressman, would the Democrats give him anything on the wall, any money at all for the wall, or is that just they're just going to stand against that?
Yeah, one way or the other, they are. I mean, again, this is a deal that could be made in even 5 minutes. I mean, they were talking about $25 billion several months ago. And then Republicans started added on, well, let's also, let's knock out chain migration. Let's knock out the visa lottery. And then the Democrats said, with DACA, it's not enough that the 1.8 million in effect going to be getting amnesty, then extended to all their relatives. But again, that was just both sides got what they wanted, and then they wouldn't accept it. They started asking for more. Part of it's politics. I think you have people in the Republican Party who never want to solve DACA. Because they don't want these people in the country. And then you have Democrats, a number of them, who would just as soon not settle with this year because they want to use it as an issue in the November election. And on the wall, many top Democrats, Hillary Clinton, you found the whole list of them, who voted for a wall 10, 12 years ago, and now it's become an issue they can't vote for. I think a wall is important, not just for the immigration part of it, but for the drugs coming across the border. You have these multinational narco gangs that are using the border. The wall is going to be an important part of stopping that. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it is important. And I think it's taking on symbolism for both sides. But this is what I find frustrating, when you can make a deal and then both sides really, they're afraid to make a deal because their base is always going to say, well, you could have gotten more or you gave him too much. And that's what happened on the budget last month.
Recipe for gridlock.
Congressman Peter King, I'll make a deal with you. I congratulate Notre Dame and the women on their big basketball win last night. Congratulations to you and Rosemary.
Okay, Len, you and Joe, but I really think that was not a very... That was sort of a very grudging.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
I can tell your heart was not in it, man.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. Have a good week. We'll talk to you.
You too. Thank you, Len. See you soon.
Get over it, Len. It was his 1961 at Syracuse. Get over it.
It was a college football game. Very controversial.
Get over it.
It was actually commented on by the White House Kennedy at one point. It was a crazy game. Anyway, coming up, controversy over the curator of an African art exhibit. Wait till you hear this one. Plus, your next chance is $1,000. Coming up 8:05 here on 710 WOR.
Hey, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected and listen anywhere with the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite radio stations, plus unlimited streaming music, available now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Traffic time, Bernie Viter.
Good Monday morning, everyone. 7:25, 5 minutes away from Mets ticket giveaway. I'm going to be giving away my personal tickets, so stand by the phones. Don't call now. Call right at 7:30, 1-800-321-0710 to win my personal Mets ticket. So you know what a big Mets fan I am. If you heard me calling the game with Len last week, very exciting.
Oh, you got a lot of reviews. Some were okay. Some said it was fun.
A very big Broadway flop, I fear.
Oh, boy. Some really. But you know what? People need to lighten up, Michael. We're on for a couple of minutes in the bottom of the second inning. The season's 162 games long.
I'm going to be calling everyone.
No, you're not. You're not getting anywhere near that broadcast.
Howie Rose has revoked my press credentials at Citi Field.
I asked Howie what he thought, and he hasn't answered my email. So, when you came up with the line that the bases were two-thirds full, well, I think you had some people scratching their heads.
There were two guys on the bases, and there are three bases, plus home plate.
Yes, very good. Two-thirds of a fourth.
That's right. And then when the bases were loaded, I think I called it a full house.
Yeah.
So, hey, talk about a whiteout. I'm looking out the window right now. We got the snow falling. It's a whiteout, but it's a whiteout in other places, too.
This is something, yeah.
Including the Brooklyn Museum. Now, I've been to the Brooklyn Museum, one of the terrific cultural institutions of the city, but it has sparked outrage in the black community because it has tapped a white woman to curate its vast African art collection. Last week, the museum appointed Kristen Winmuller Luna, 31, to curate the African American collection at the Brooklyn Museum. Now, this woman,
she has some credentials.
She's got amazing credentials. PhD in African art history from Princeton. She lectures at Columbia, my alma mater, in the Department of Art History and Archaeology. And she worked as an educator at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where she was responsible for adult and college galleries in the African wing. But now you've got some African-American journalists who are tweeting, seriously, at Brooklyn Museum, says Ernest Owens, a Philadelphia journalist. There goes the neighborhood. Another Kimberly Seldon tweets, people from the African diaspora are frustrated with white people being gatekeepers of our narrative. I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. This woman is completely qualified to oversee the African collection at the museum, and there should be no racial tests to have only black people can look after black art. That is ridiculous. That is political correctness run amok.
The museum's chief curator said in a statement, Kristen is the perfect choice to build upon the Brooklyn Museum's track record as an innovator in the collection and exhibition of the arts of Africa. So they're just basing it on skin color and not credentials. So, the people who are criticizing her.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. But the museum is already starting to waver a little bit. They put out a mamby-pamby statement, too, say, we have been listening closely to the debate about our recent appointments to our curatorial team. We're listening and we hear you. As we think about ways to engage in this conversation with the care it deserves, we want to assure you that you can count on us as ever. If they rescind the hiring of this woman, I will be there protesting outside the Brooklyn Museum.
Oh, I'd pay to see that.
Totally qualified to head up the African collection at the Brooklyn Museum.
And speaking of the race issue, what do you think of the White House internship?
Talk about a whiteout. There is a picture of all the interns, and it looks like a Von Trapp family photograph.
No, there's hundreds of them. They're really
And they're white. They are seriously white people.
There's occasionally a minority in there. But.
Well, you got to really look. You got to squint to find it in the Von Trapp family photo album at the White House interns. Apparently, there are three black men and zero black women, and this has a lot of people.
How many
upset.
White men and women?
Acres and acres and acres of them. There are a lot of them there. But, you know, listen, I don't know. There are African-American Republicans, no question about that, but probably not a lot of them, you know, a lot of African-Americans racing to work in the White House
that
under
was the
this
point.
President.
That was the point that was made. If you want to see this picture or check it out at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. By the way, my favorite line from the weekend comes from Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor. He says, the greatest single characteristic of people on the far left is they have zero sense of humor. I mean, these are the most bitter, angry, really disappointing, and disgusting people because they're so sad with life. I've never seen a group of people that are so unhappy.
Sounds like he's talking about you,
Len. You know
what? He's talking about you.
I think, you know, when I think of Mike Huckabee and his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I think of two happy-go-lucky souls and just a barrel of laughs. So, yeah, they're probably right.
You're angry every single morning when you come on here.
How do you generalize?
You only smile when you can talk about Stormy Daniels.
How do you generalize around a group of people?
I'm turning your mic off.
And that's what people like.
And now something
do.
Happy. It is your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies this Wednesday at Citi Field. Be caller number 25 at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Be caller number 25. And you are the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's check in with Joe Bartlett and the 7:30 news.
Okay, Michael, good morning.
It's snowing,
and in some places it's snowing very hard, even here in Lower Manhattan.
Yeah.
Look out the window right now.
It's whipping up there.
This is real stuff. This is a real snowstorm. Northern New Jersey really getting socked. Here's WOR Scott Pringle.
Well, folks, a little surprised here waking up this morning. The cars and sidewalks just completely covered with snow, but that's not all. The side streets not showing any blacktop either.
I think this is horrible. This winter's never going to end. Can't stand it anymore.
What do you think of the roads here?
Pretty crappy, being considering they said it wasn't going to stick on the roads. It was only going to stick in the grass, so looks like we got about 2-3 inches already. It's coming down pretty hard.
In Northern New Jersey, I'm Scott Pringle for 710 WOR.
It's tough out there. Authorities taking steps to keep the people of Brooklyn safe amid threats of a potentially crazy scheme here. It's called Punish a Muslim Day.
What?
Yes, yeah. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams says letters circulated last month in the mail throughout the United Kingdom and on social media are calling for violence against Muslims Tuesday, April 3rd, tomorrow.
It's terrible.
He says the threat included proposed rewards for acts of verbal abuse, to assault, to even murders and bombings. Adams, the Brooklyn Borough President, joining members of the NYPD Muslim Officers Association to highlight Brooklyn's unity in the face of this campaign.
That's terrible.
That's sickening.
Yeah. I know it's coming from the UK, but I think this is just sort of, you know, an extra level of caution here. Well, $3 billion worth of American products are subject to a 25% tax increase in China today. The tariffs China is adding, a retaliation for the tariffs that President Trump slapped on the Chinese imports last week. Speaking of the president, he says DACA is dead, took to Twitter over the weekend to lash out at Democrats and Mexico over immigration. Says Democrats blew it on DACA. Now a lot of people are coming into the country to take advantage of it. And speaking of, they're taking jobs. And speaking of jobs, Iowa has a big employment problem, and it's not what you think. They have too many jobs and not enough people to fill them.
Only two people live in Iowa.
Iowa. Wall Street Journal says manufacturers are begging colleges for their graduates because they don't have enough people. And it's a problem for the entire region. Even if every unemployed person in the Midwest were to get a job today, they would still be 180,000 workers short.
What are they manufacturing there in Iowa that they need all these workers? I mean, I know that, you know, there's some oil fields in Montana or North Dakota where they need workers, but
corn?
Well, you know, what's going on in corn farm Iowa?
Well, my son worked in Iowa for a while.
What did he do?
Ethanol plant. Yeah, there's a lot of refineries out there.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know what the jobs are, but if you want a job,
I'm a radio host.
I'm sure they probably are looking
Michael,
for
you. Got a job for you.
Oh, no. I actually would like to be a sports announcer in Iowa.
Work.
What are the Iowa sports teams out there?
That would be the
Hawkeyes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I could call the Hawkeyes game.
No pro teams.
What, are they baseball Hawkeyes?
No, it was college, so they got all the different sports.
There's no pro teams.
I'm off to a good start as a sports announcer in Iowa.
Yeah, they're big Chicago fans because they're close to Illinois, you know.
So if you want a job, there you go.
I want to send my tape, my reel, calling the Mets game to the Hawkeyes to see if I can call their games. You think that'll work for me?
I would bury that if I were you. I would not let that see the light of day.
All right, get it off your screener there, Len, please. All right, Chris Christie has a warning for President Trump, and we're going to find out why Kellyanne Conway is a reporter's favorite go-to source in the White House when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Biter.
710 WOR.
What's that song at 7:40? Snowy days and Mondays always get me down. What the hell is going on?
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
It is
in April.
Coming down. They said 2 inches an hour at LaGuardia about 40 minutes ago. This is real snow.
I'm looking out the window here. It's a blizzard. I would call that I don't know if Ray Stajic would call it a blizzard, but Michael Riedel would call it a blizzard. And it's sticking. And yeah. I wore sneakers to work, so I'm going to have wet and cold feet when
you
I get home.
You should. And, we do have one happy customer out there.
We do indeed. Congratulations to Laura Sass from Hawthorne, New Jersey. She won my personal pair of tickets to the Mets versus the Phillies. Congratulations, Laura. And coming up at 8:30, Len is going to give away his personal pair of... You're not?
No, we're going to have the Turning Point contest.
Oh, right, yes, right. Yeah. Right.
Welcome to the program, Mike.
Sorry, I forgot about
8:30
that.
8:30 each morning, we do the Turning Point contest. If you know what the Turning Point was from yesterday's loss, you know, it was the only Mets loss the entire season.
I know.
If you know the Turning Point of that game, we'll give you some more tickets at 8. If you're the first caller who correctly identifies that turning
point. Well, we are giving away more Mets tickets at 8:30.
We are. We're doing that, and I wonder how this weather is going to affect the Yankees home opener and the Mets game tonight against the Phillies. Both New York baseball teams are home.
What time do the Yankees start today?
Around 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Well, yeah. I mean, you look outside the window. I don't think the snow's going to be gone by 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, maybe tough. I just saw in Long Island the winter storm advisory has been extended until 2 o'clock.
Any flight cancellations come through
haven't
yet?
Heard. Or no? Yeah, we haven't heard. That's something we should check on.
All right, we'll keep you up to speed here.
So what about Chris Christie? He's getting pretty outspoken now, and we've had him on once, and we hope to have him on again shortly. He's a contributor to ABC News.
Well, he's paid to be outspoken.
He's doing his
job now.
All right, so let's listen to this. He was asked yesterday about the Mueller investigation.
He should never walk into that room with Robert Mueller, because in the end, one of the things that makes the president who he is that he's a salesman. And salesmen at times tend to be hyperbolic.
And then he goes on to say that that could wind him up in jail. I mean, that's pretty hyperbolic by its own self.
Well, I mean, you know, Mueller's setting a trap for Trump. Trump walks in there. Trump wants to testify, wants to talk to Mueller. He's under oath. He starts being Trump, you know, goes zigs and zags and this, that, and the other thing. And next thing you know, they caught him in a lie, and Mueller nails him on perjury. Maybe not collusion, but he'll get him on perjury. So he better take Chris Christie's advice.
Well, Trump has said all along, well, he said from time to time that he definitely wants to sit down with Mueller. My personal belief is he'll never meet with him. It'll just never. There's no way. I mean, if whoever Trump's lawyers are.
He doesn't have any, Len. He got rid of them all. Who's advising him now?
Whoever gets back. You know, we'll get back my cousin Vinny. And he'll take care of the Utes of America. If he gets cousin Vinny back, Joe Pesci. He won't let him testify.
No. I mean, the rate Trump's going is going to be Salino and Barnes, who's going to be his lawyer in the White House.
So I can't see him testify.
He can't. I agree. I mean, I kind of admire Trump's chutzpah to say, I'll talk to Mueller, because it indicates to me that he has nothing to hide in terms of what this investigation should be about, Russian collusion. But if they try to trip him up on business dealings in the past or try to get him on perjury charges, then we have yet another special counsel, Len, run amok.
All right. Governor Christie also yesterday, he doesn't think that EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt will survive the latest scandal.
The president's been ill-served by this, and if Mr. Pruitt's going to go, it's because he should have never been there in the first place.
Does he have to go?
Listen, I don't know how you survive this one.
Well, and he's saying, Christie took a little shot at how they've come up with these people.
This was a brutally unprofessional transition. This was a transition that didn't vet people for this type of judgment issues, which I think could have been seen very easily in a lot of these people.
I wonder if he's a little bit bitter. Wasn't he in charge of the transition at one point?
Talk about a Judas. Chris Christie was a big Trump fan and supporter there for a long time, and then they didn't put him in there because he, you know, closed the bridges and whatnot, and now he's getting paid to denounce Trump.
Well,
he was part of the transition
team at one point. I guess wasn't he running it at one point?
He was.
He was fired from running the transition team.
He was the first to go.
So I think that's maybe, does that explain why he's kind of taking these pot shots? Now, if you want to know what the Pruitt controversy is, the latest one, I mean, this ABC News reported that Pruitt had been spending $50 a night for a D.C. apartment. That's a good deal.
Yes.
But the apartment was co-owned by the wife of an energy lobbyist.
Oops.
CPA.
Oops. There was a big New York Times Sunday editorial denouncing Pruitt's EPA and really going after him, too. So he may not be long for this world.
That is entirely possible. Now, you seem to be fascinated by this Kelly Conway story, which comes from a book.
Oh, yes. There's a new book out. And it claims that Kellyanne Conway, one of the most loyal people around the president, she may be a Judas, too, because apparently, according to this book, she is the number one leaker in Oval Office.
Wow. And there are a lot of them there. There have been a lot of them there. Of all the leakers, she's the number one leaker.
Yeah. So, well, this book is by...
This book is called... This is Ronald Kessler. He's author of a book, The Trump White House Changing the Rules of the Game. And he writes in the book, if you wonder why there are so many leaks out of the White House, one reason is Kellyanne is the number one leaker.
But what's the motivation for her to be leaking stuff? Is she leaking stuff against rivals in the White House to try to, you know, put the knife in their back?
It's a great question.
Get them out that way? Because that's not really answered yet in the book.
She doesn't seem to be
she doesn't strike me as a leaker. Yeah,
so she's not out to get the president. Maybe she was out to get people like Priebus or Bannon.
Hammerosa. Somebody like
you
that.
Call her Hammerosa?
Yes.
Like a hemorrhoid?
No.
Amoroso.
Amoroso.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was her way of going after Bannon how much support did Ivanka and Jared get? Maybe that.
Listen, I haven't read this book, but I just don't buy it. I don't see Kellyanne Conway as a leaker. I mean, clearly there are leaks there, and he should bring back Nixon's plumbers to fix those leaks in the White House, but I just don't see Kellyanne Conway as being the deep throat.
Don't know. All right, coming up next, a legendary Broadway show has come to TV. Michael Riedel right in the middle of it. And a push to get a famous actress into Star Wars. We'll tell you who that is when we return. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 right here on 710 WOR. After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan, work there, go to school there? Or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? If you were in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002, and have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion, billion with a B, for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look him up. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. If you were a student or lived near Ground Zero or worked near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Traffic, Bernie Vider.